Right, let's take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 21. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 21. We're going to read down to verse 23, and then we will go to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 11 through 13. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 21. Let's stand as we read the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 3, we are in verse 21. It says, "My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul, and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble." Chapter 4, verse 11 says, "I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. When thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life." Let's have a word of prayer as we pray the special will come. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to open up your word. God, we ask, as the psalmist said, "Open thou our eyes that we might behold wondrous things out of thy law." Lord, that's our prayer this morning. God, we just ask that you meet with us. If you do so, Lord, then all of our needs will be met. And God, we will be able to praise your name for that. Bless in Jesus' name we pray. And amen.
Some people say this old time religion is just a thing of the past. But in this modern age that we're living, it's the only thing that will last. Now you may think I'm a little old-fashioned. Well, friend, that's all right with me. I'm so glad that I am a Christian. From sin now I have been set free. I know, there's no doubt about it. He lives in my heart, and I'm going to shout it. I know, my sins are forgiven, and on my way to a place that's called heaven. Not long ago, at an old-fashioned altar, I knelt on my knees there in prayer. He lifted my burdens, my shackles fell from me, and his presence is real everywhere. Now that the load I carried is lighter, it changed my gray skies to blue. My steps are now higher, for I have this assurance that his sweet love will carry me through. I know, there's no doubt about it. He lives in my heart, and I'm gonna shout it. I know my sins are forgiven, and I'm on my way to a place that's called heaven. Come go with me to a land over yonder. He's prepared for the pure and the true. It's a place where sickness and death cannot enter. I'm going, brother, how about you? Maybe today or maybe tomorrow we'll return in robes of pure white. I'm packing up now, gathering my things together. Who knows, he may come tonight. I know, there's no doubt about it. He lives in my heart, and I'm gonna shout it. I know, my sins are forgiven, and I'm on my way to a place that's called heaven. I know, there's no doubt about it. He lives in my heart, and I'm gonna shout it. I know, my sins are forgiven, and I'm on my way to a place that's called heaven.
That's a good song. Thank you, Brother Tom. I hope you can say, "I'm on my way to heaven with him." All right. That is excellent. That blessed my heart. Let's take our Bibles. You are over in Proverbs chapter 3 and 4. we read where Solomon was talking to his son, writing some words of wisdom there. And he told his son, I want you to take fast hold of these words. I am going to teach you something that will help you in saving your life, a little bit of stumbling. And so that's where we pick up the story here in Proverbs chapter 3 and chapter 4. As I read these portions of Scripture, my mind went back to 2 Kings chapter 4, talking about the Shunammite woman and how the Shunammite woman had Elijah come through her city, and she told her husband, we should make a prophet's chamber for Elisha to stay in. And so her and her husband got together and they were building that prophet's chamber, as we call them today. And so they worked on that and they built Elisha a place for him to stay as he was passing through. Elisha and his servant Gehazi were staying in their prophet's chamber one day. And Elisha said to Gehazi, I want you to go and I want you to call this Shunammite woman and tell her to come. I want to do something for her. If you read the portion of Scripture, it says that he offered to bring her before the king. He offered to bring her before the captain of the host. And her response, I love her response. She was a very contented lady. She said, I dwell in the midst of my people. I am doing just fine where I am living right now. But Gehazi noticed something. He said, I notice she does not have a child. I know her heart has been set on having a child. And so Elisha said to Gehazi, I want you to tell her that she, at this time next year, will have a child. And she will be able to enjoy that life that she has been desiring for years and years. And so this lady said, man of God, please do not lie to me. And of course, as you know the story, the man of God was not lying. And a year later, she was holding a little child in her hand. Well, one day came, the Bible says that the child grew. And she sent the child out to help her dad or her husband harvest the crops and do some reaping in the field. As the child went out there and helped his dad in the field, the child became lightheaded and said twice to his dad, my head, my head. And then fell over. And his father said, I want you servants to go take my son, and I want you to go bring him to his mother and have his mother take care of him. And we find in the next verse where the mother is taking that child's head and stroking his hair and placing that head on her lap. And then by noon, the Bible says, the little boy passed away. Here is a story about a lady that had desired something all of her life. And finally, God had given it to her. She was the happiest lady that could ever be in Israel at this time. I mean, something that she had prayed for. And then the man of God said that God was going to bless her with a little child. And she's holding that child and raising that child. And now, that day at noon, the child is lifeless. I want to speak this morning on stumbling on stepping stones. Stumbling on stepping stones. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this morning. God, I thank you that we can open up your word. I thank you that it covers all aspects of life. Every circumstance, God, we can find an answer for in your word. Thank you that we have a book like that. Thank you that you wrote it. You inspired it. Now, God, I pray that you would just touch my mouth. And Lord, I pray that all I want to do is just be a blessing to maybe somebody that is going through a rough time, or God, be an encouragement to somebody that maybe is not going through a rough time, but they need just a little boost. Lord, I pray that I would just be a blessing from your word today. Lord, come down and meet with us. We need you. Oh, that thou wouldst rend the heavens, and that your spirit would come and meet our needs. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. and amen. I can remember growing up, I can remember my dad coming into the living room and saying, boys and girls, we're going to have a vacation this summer. And any child that hears that word vacation, it's an exciting thing. Their eyes get about twice the size they usually are. And immediately, imagination starts wandering. You think of the ocean. You think of all different kinds of places that you would like to go. But then my dad would tell us, well, we're going to go up north by Lake Superior. And or he would tell us we're going to go out to the Black Hills or something like that. And I can remember the excitement that was in the air. We could hardly wait. We were counting down the days. You know how it is when you were engaged and you're counting down the days, and every time you meet your fiance, it's one less day, and it's an exciting time. Well, it's about that much excitement going on vacation. But I will never forget my dad taking his big old map, laying it out on the kitchen table, and getting his yellow highlighter and his pen and mapping out the roads we were going to take. And we would have a great time watching Dad map out the route and see all the states. We'd always count how many states we're going to go through. And then we would add those to the list that we've already been to. And we'd have a good time watching Dad do that. But as we came closer to the day that we're going to take off, the excitement would just build until the morning we loaded up in the van. It was always great big vans we took on vacation. And usually air conditioning was four windows down or six windows down, whatever they had, going 55 miles an hour. And no more than 55, it was 55 as we watched the farmers pass us on the tractors. But we would be so excited, and finally the alarm clock would sound and we would grab all of our luggage, hop in the van, and away we would go. And the picking would begin, and we would begin to pick on each other and just have a good old time. Two older sisters, four other brothers, and it was just a fun time in the car until we all of a sudden started seeing these orange signs on the road that said construction ahead. And usually before you see those signs, you have great big potholes in the road. I mean, great big like craters, and you're bouncing around in the back seat. We had one time a station wagon, a yellow station wagon. I think it was a Plymouth. And the old station wagon that popped up, it wasn't for a seat. It was for luggage or something. But we turned it into a seat. You know what I'm talking about? And that was where me and my little brother would get stuck, back there in the no-talk zone or whatever. But we would get back there, and it would be so bouncy. And so rocky, it seemed like the roads would be. And then the construction signs would show up. And my dad did not plan for the construction. Or we'd had to take a detour. And we had to go around the part of the road that they were working on. But I can remember Jay Howell and I, we went out on a Thursday evening. And we were crossing, we were on North Street, crossing over 57. They were doing some road work right there, and they had dug a trench right through the road. And we were just laughing and having a good old time until we hit that trench. I thought the car was going to do somersaults on us. We hit that thing, and it stopped the conversation. It was silent for a while. And then, a couple days later, I got out, and it broke my leaf there. And or my spring, and is rubbing on the tire. But you weren't expecting those types of things. We weren't expecting the road construction. We weren't expecting the rocks and the stones on the road. Sometimes we chart our lives out. We chart our lives where we'll have 13 years of school. And then after I get done with school, I'm going to go right into college, and I'm going to complete my 4-year degree, or I'm going to complete my 2-year degree, or I'm going to complete my Mr. degree or my Mrs. degree, amen, whatever the case may be. And you have that goal set, and you get out of high school, and then you have to make some choices, and some things don't go quite the way you were expecting. Or you get out of college and you were studying 4 years to go into this field, and there are no opportunities available for you. Something you didn't plan for. something that was not on the map that you had charted out for your life. But I have news for you. God has charted your route for your life as well. We have our route charted out, our lives charted out, and what we think should be in our lives. God also has a route charted out for you, and what He knows what will be on your life. And might I say this? The road that God has charted out for you is not always a smooth surface. Sometimes you run into some stones that are in the road. Sometimes they're not stones, they're not pebbles. Sometimes there's boulders in the way. And you think, what in the world? This doesn't match up with my plans. What are you doing? This isn't supposed to happen. But God has charted your life's route out already. And the surface is not always as smooth as glass. You think about it. The children of Israel, as they were excited to leave Egypt, and they were thrilled to death to get out of the bondage of Pharaoh. But as they left and as they were taking the trip through the wilderness, all of a sudden, they got a little blue in the horizon. They saw a little bit of blue. And they said, well, God is good to us. Give us a little bit of water. They kept on walking closer to that blue horizon. And the blue kept on spreading. They got right up to the blue. And they saw it was not a little pond nor a little lake, but it was the Red Sea. What are you doing, God? You let us out here. You kicked, or you guided us out of Egypt. Now, what are you doing? You stuck a Red Sea right in front of us. I think of David. Little David, as Samuel comes to David's house, and he has the horn of the bull in his hand, and he has the oil in that horn, and he takes David and he says, David, you are going to be the next king of Israel. And as he pours out that oil on the forehead of David, I can imagine as David was having that oil drip down his face or through his hair, he was thinking, Saul will reign over Israel, and at his death, at a good ripe old age, then I will take the kingdom. But he was not expecting his journey to the throne to be spent in the Rock Inn, or to be spent dodging javelins or things like that. He didn't plan for those things. Might I say that was a little stone in the road? That was probably a little bit of a more of a pebble. That was probably a boulder. If I had a javelin thrown at me, I would call that a boulder in life. That was a big problem. And David did not plan for those events to take place. And sometimes you and I, we don't plan for the events that arise in our lives. But for every stone, we can stumble over, just like Solomon told his son here in chapter 4 and verse 19. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Or we can take that same stone and we can make it into a stepping stone. Either I can stumble over the stone that God has placed in my life, or I can step on that stone to help me in my life. I can take the stone one of two ways. God allows trials in our life, but we determine what the trials are going to do. Whether they're going to trip us up or whether we're going to step on them and let them help us become closer to the Lord. I'll never forget the call that I had when I was at my sister-in-law's house in Texas. I left my cell phone in the car. And that next morning, I went out to the car. I grabbed my cell phone, and I saw that there were 14 missed calls in one night. I knew right away something was wrong, and they were all from Minnesota. And the calls weren't at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. There were 2 o'clock in the morning. There were 2:15, 2:25, 2:30, 2:35, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. There were calls like that. I knew something was wrong. I called my sister. I said, what's going on? She said, Dad had a heart attack. I wasn't expecting that. For my 52-year-old dad to have a heart attack, that was not my plan for life. I'll never forget the time when my dad tucked us boys and girls in bed and we were sitting there, and you know how it is. You just begin to doze off into sleep, and all of a sudden the phone began to ring. And I'll never forget hopping out of bed and running over to the grate. We had a hole cut in our floor upstairs, and it had a grate, and we could look down, and it looked right over the phone where the phone was placed. And I'll never forget looking down through that grate and looking at my dad as he was talking on the phone, and him hearing the words, "Your dad had a heart attack. He is not responding. They think he's dead." And I'll never forget listening to the van tear out of the driveway and then speeding down the gravel road and getting to the house and the lights and the sirens flashing. I'll never forget that. That is something that I was not planning on when I put my head on the pillow. I'll never forget the time when Emily got the call or got the news, "Your mom has cancer." I'll never forget that. And you'll never forget the moments that you have. I have just shared just a couple of them with you, and you can share many, many, many stories just like that, that you'll never forget. But I'll also never forget as my mother-in-law got the news that she had cancer and people started praying, her spirit towards God was, "Lord, whatever you have, Lord, whatever you brought into my life, I'm content with it. If it means whatever the case may be, Lord, well, I am content with the will that you have for my life. I have a stone here. I'm not going to stumble over it. I'm going to step on top of it. I'm going to let it me step up. I'm going to let it help me step up." I knocked on a door last week. Lady answered the door. She barely answered the door. You have those, and then you have those who answer the door. Amen. She barely answered the door. She yelled out the door. All of her blinds were closed. The house was dark, and she yelled out the door, "Don't you understand? I'm a sick woman. I have cancer of this, and I have cancer of this. Leave me alone." Slammed the door. Huh? Little bit of a different response, I would say. You have the same circumstance come to two different people and two different responses. Why? We have Job. Job's response towards God was, "The Lord blesseth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." We have Job's wife that says, "Curse God and die. Curse God and die." I would say one stepped on the stone. I would say the other stumbled over the stone. So we have in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 21, "My son, glean the instruction I want to give you this morning. I want you to not stumble over the stones of life. I want you to step on top of them." That's what Solomon is telling his son this morning. That's what Solomon is telling you this morning. Don't let the stones of life be stumbling stones. Let them be stepping stones for you. I want to tell you just a couple ways how we can help the stones of life be stepping stones rather than stumbling stones. First, you must realize who it is that places the stones in your path. Who it is that places the stones in your path. I have my path all laid out. You have your path all laid out. But God has your path laid out. And He places stones and He places, lets trials occur in your life. And we can't get mad at God and say, "God, what are you doing to me?" The Bible says in Psalms 119, verse 133, "Order my steps in thy word. And let not any iniquity have dominion over me." Sometimes we think we are running our own lives, but God really is running our lives. God really places the stones in our lives. We may choose and try to pick the path, but God really is the one that places the stones and places the struggles in our life. I think of Joseph. Joseph being a 17-year-old boy. Dreams and visions. Remember, he was the one that had the dream that everybody was going to bow down to him. I think he had some pretty high expectations, don't you? I don't meet a whole lot of kids that tell me I'm going to be the king or I'm going to be the president of the United States. I'm going to be the CEO of the company here. I don't meet a whole lot of kids like that. Maybe I should. But Joseph here, he had expectations, high expectations. And all of a sudden, those expectations are thought about in a pit. He says, "How in the world are people going to bow down to me in a pit?" That don't look too good, Lord. Maybe the snakes, maybe the grasshoppers and the crickets, but I don't see a whole lot of people down here in the pit with me. What are you doing? And then he gets sold off into slavery. And then he becomes the story as he works his way up in command there. But his brothers come to him in Genesis 45 and verse 8. I love his response. It says, "So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God." You see, you think you put the stumbling stone in front of me. You think you tried to trip me up. You think you tried to shut my mouth. But God was using you to put the stone in my life that now made me second to Pharaoh. You see, Pharaoh or Joseph realized who placed the stones in his life. Your accidents or your trials and your struggles are not accidents. You see, the God of the universe said, "I love that person so much, I don't want them to go through life without having some custom design. I want them to draw a little bit closer to me. I want them to be partakers of the suffering of Christ." 2 Peter tells us he has chosen us to be partakers of Christ's suffering. Might I say, the will of God will never take you where the grace of God can't keep you. You've heard that phrase over and over and over. And I say this morning, it's still true. You said you heard it the first time. You said, "That was great. Man, the will of God can never take me where the grace of God can't keep me." I think I said that right. Yes, can't keep me. That's tremendous. But it's still true. It's still true. Then I want you to understand, every stone can be a stepping stone. Every stone can be a stepping stone. The Bible says in verse 23, "Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble." Verse 19, like I just read, chapter 4 says, "The way of the wicked is darkness, and they know not what they stumble." You say, how do I know if I'm going to stumble or if I'm going to step on the stone that God places in front of me? I'll tell you how. You determine whether you stumble or step based on your attitude to the stone that God places in your life. You determine it by the attitude you have. "I don't understand why God will let me go through this trial. Doesn't He realize who I am?" Don't we understand who God is and that He loves us so much? That's why we have a little girl, Fanny Crosby, that was raised up blind. Yet she took that stone of blindness and said, "God, I'm not going to let myself stumble over this one. I'm not going to get bitter at you, but I'm going to sit down with my pen. I'm going to write 9,000 hymns." I think somebody had a stepping stone rather than a stumbling stone. And that's the same thing that can happen in your life. I think of H.G. Stafford when he was sailing across the Atlantic Ocean. You know the story. I won't go through all the details. But that's why a man stopped his ship and penned the words, "It is well with my soul." How many of you have been blessed with those words? I would say probably all of us have sung those words and had our hearts blessed by those words that Mr. Spafford wrote when he went through that trial. Why? Because he let the stone not be a stumbling stone, but he let the stone be a stepping stone to be a blessing to hundreds and multitudes and thousands of Christians in days to come. See, he didn't stumble over the stone. I think of so many other people. I have many, many more examples. But I think of Brother Lewis. What a blessing he has been. I won't get into all the different things, but you know that he has one hand does not have the four fingers. What a blessing he has been to me. What a blessing he has been to this church. You don't understand. He works on those buses every Saturday. He goes out and before anybody is at the church, he makes sure all the buses run on every Sunday morning. Every Sunday morning. I was going to try to beat him one snowy Sunday morning. And we got, you remember that snowstorm last year, about 12, 13 inches? I got in my car. I thought I'd beat him to it. I'd get his driveway shoveled out, and then he could get to the church, and I would meet him at the church. And so we went to his house about 5 o'clock in the morning. And there I was shoveling some snow. I looked up and there's a shadow beside me. And it's not my own. It's Brother Lewis. He's out there 5 o'clock in the morning trying to shovel out his driveway so that he can be a blessing to some bus kids that Sunday morning. I would say that's a man that had a stone placed in his life that did not stumble over the stone, but lifted his leg up and placed his foot on top of the stone, rather letting his foot be underneath the stone and tripping him up. But the problem is, what we do, we get closed and we shut all the blinds down, we close all the lights out, and we say, woe is me, I just don't understand why this could happen. I have my life planned out. This is devastating to me. This is discouraging. Wait a minute. Let God use that stone as a stepping stone. Let God use that stone as a stepping stone. I don't know what your stone is this morning. Whether it's health. Your health broke a couple years ago. I don't know. Maybe it's broken dreams. You had a desire to do this with your life and hasn't worked out. Maybe your stone is finances. The rug got pulled out of underneath the financial rug. Maybe it's a death in the family. Maybe it's a marriage that is not going the way you wanted it to go. Maybe it's a rebellious child that's drifted away from the Lord. I don't know what the stone is. You do. But I'm saying every stone can be used one of two ways. Either as a stepping stone or a stumbling stone. I believe that we can make every stone a stepping stone by letting the Bible principle place our feet. Let the Bible principles place our feet. When we come to a stone in our life, so what am I going to do now? You run to the old black book where all the answers for life are. Amen. You can find your answer in these pages right here. And you let the Bible place your foot on top of the stone. You let your flesh place its foot. It's going to go underneath the stone. It's going to want to cave in. It's going to want to get so discouraged. But let the Word of God place your foot on top of the stone. And you'll be able to keep on going for God. Huh? Let the Bible principles place your feet. I think of David as he came back to his home city. As he got there and he saw the smoke rising up towards heaven. As he saw the walls being destroyed. As he saw the gates burning. He remembered one thing. He remembered, I must take courage in the Lord. I must encourage myself in the Lord. And that's exactly what David did. I think of Joseph. Joseph, with the temptation of Potiphar's wife, what happened? He said, how could I do this great evil against the Lord, this great wickedness against God? How could I do it? What did he do? He let Bible principle guide his actions. That's what you need for your life. I think of Paul and Timothy. The Bible said Paul told Timothy, but continue thou in the things which thou hast heard. But continue thou in the things which thou hast heard. Solomon told his son, I want you to grab on to the truths that I told you. In verse 21, it says, keep sound wisdom, so shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. It says in verse 21, my son, let them not depart from thine eyes. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Those principles that you've heard Pastor Angel preach from the pulpit will guide your feet when the stone comes. And it'll make the difference between a stumbling stone and a stepping stone. It makes all the difference when you let the Bible choose your step. The Bible says, lastly, I believe that we ought to let the cornerstone be your first stepping stone. Let the cornerstone be your first stepping stone. What are you talking about, Brother Caleb? I'm talking about in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20, it says, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. I'm talking about Matthew chapter 21 and verse 42. It says, Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read in the scriptures the stone which the builders rejected? The same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Every one of us will someday in our lives meet the stone called the cornerstone in our life. Each one of us will come across our path, the cornerstone in our path. And we will choose whether to reject the cornerstone or to build our lives upon the cornerstone. Who is the cornerstone? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. I told my class this morning, I don't know how people can live without Jesus Christ being in their life. It would be ridiculous. It would be ridiculous, and people poke fun at you and say, ha, a Bible thumper, a churchgoer. Who do you think you are? Not nothing. I am nothing save but by the grace of God, I've placed my foot on the cornerstone. And I'm not being disrespectful about talking about placing your foot on the stepping stone. I'm talking about building that foundation on the chief cornerstone. Your life must be built on Jesus Christ. Is your life built on Jesus Christ? What are you talking about? I'm talking about you realizing one day in your life, I am a sinner. I realize as I walk my path of life, I sin. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I am a sinner. I can remember August 7th, 1992. I realized that I was a sinner. Not for the first time, but 10 years worth of sinning. Amen. I realized that day, though, that I was a sinner before God. Not only that I was a sinner, but I was on my way to a place called hell because I had disobeyed what God had told me to do. And that I was born with that sin nature. I was headed to hell. But I remember my dad showing me some verses about the chief cornerstone. Chief cornerstone that has been placed in your life. The chief cornerstone was placed in my life August 7th, 1992. He told me that the chief cornerstone died on the cross for my sins. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God commendeth His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. The chief cornerstone died. So that you could live and you could build your foundation, your life on Jesus Christ. But the Bible says this was known to the Pharisees, but they met the same cornerstone that you and I meet, and they took the cornerstone and they rejected it. The children of Israel, they took the chief cornerstone that was placed on their path of life and they rejected it and said, we will not have another king over us besides our king, the Jewish king. We will not have another king. And they rejected that chief cornerstone. You have the same decision that they had to make. Either you're going to build on that chief cornerstone or you're going to reject it. How do you reject it? By saying, well, I'll just get saved in a different day. I'll get saved tomorrow. I'll get saved when I feel like everything is right in my life. Well, might I say, the devil makes sure everything is not all right in your life until you plunge off into the lake that burneth the fire and brimstone. He'll guarantee you you're not ready. You got to make today the day that you accept that cornerstone. You got to make sure that today is the day you anchor on that foundation. Jesus Christ. How is it? Have you met the chief cornerstone? There's going to be a lot of stones in your path. There's going to be stumbling stones if you allow it to be a stumbling stone. Christian today, there's going to be stepping stones. There's going to be stepping stones in your life. But your attitude toward the stepping stone will determine, or the stone in your life will determine if it's a stepping or a stumbling stone. You get to choose. How do you make it a stepping stone? By applying the Bible principles that are taught in the Family Bible Hour, across this pulpit, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You apply those to your life. I'm talking about in a practical way. I'm talking about tomorrow morning when you wake up. I'm talking about tomorrow morning when you go to work. I'm talking about tomorrow when you come home with the family. Are you going to let that stone in your life be a stumbling stone or a stepping stone? How about it? Those of you who have never asked Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior, He is in your life as the chief cornerstone. You will either reject Him or you will receive Him and build your life upon that chief cornerstone. Every head bowed, every eye closed.